Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Hey, don't. We want to know Wednesday.
We
want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday.
You're listening to The V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, in for Bob Valvano, it's Jeff Greer.
All right, I don't know what that was. What was that, Nick? What, that was like a mashup of all of your buttons that you push into one song.
Well, it started off as I your liner has a gray background on the computer, so I thought I had that queued up. I didn't. I had We Wanted a Wednesday, which also has a gray background, and then I kind of realized that it was kind of going with the song, so I started like incorporating all the drops we had and trying to do it to the beat of the song. Some I think worked, others did not. And then I was like, all right, it's time to actually bring Jeff back. And I did the exact same GD thing I did the first time, which was I clicked the gray background, and it was We Want to Know Wednesday. So at that point, it was just like, well,
We Want to Know Wednesday.
Let's just bring Jeff back.
But it's not. It's Thursday.
Well, yeah, I know. It started off as a mistake, and then I started just trying to play it off, and then did the exact same mistake.
Is Jack in the background continuously saying We Want to Know Wednesday?
Yeah, so was Process. It was actually kind of fun.
Oh, God, this show is just something else. Well, we're down here at the Derby Museum for NWSL Championship Media Day, and the NWSL is super excited to welcome fans to Louisville for the 2021 NWSL Championship presented by Budweiser. As part of the celebration, fans are invited to attend the Butchertown Block Party on Friday evening, tomorrow night, all presented by MasterCard, just a few short steps from Lynn Family Stadium around the corner. Open to the public block party ahead of Saturday's championship game between the Chicago Red Stars and Washington Spirit. You can check out the free food, live music, and the chance to meet and greet some NWSL players. The event runs from 5 to 9 p.m. on the surface lot besides the Butchertown Market building on Story Ave. I'm hoping to get down there myself. And selfishly, look, I know that if you've been following the NWSL, you've got the third and fourth seeds in the playoffs in the championship match instead of either of the top two seeds that had a bye into the semifinals. But I am selfishly happy that there are two teams that are much closer to Louisville. Chicago fans can drive just 5 hours. Washington fans could drive 9+ hours, or they could just fly on a direct flight here as well. But I'm a little happier that at least one of those two teams is playing in this thing so that we can get some more late arriving ticket holders. Past 9,000 people now have purchased tickets to the NWSL championship game. I'm excited to take a photo of the crowd in the first half on a Saturday Saturday so that I can send that one directly to Andy Sweeney, who was making fun of me earlier this season during a soccer game about the crowd. It's spiking Sweeney. We got to spike Sweeney. It's time to spike Sweeney. What do you guys think?
Spike him or
spike him?
Or like spike
him? Volleyball spike him. No, I mean, I'm mostly just kidding. But no, it'll be fun out there on Saturday. 12 p.m. is the kickoff, and I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. Should be a good game. And then folks can immediately leave there and go right down to the UM Center for the Detroit Mercy game at 2 o'clock. I have a feeling we won't have too many people going to the Detroit Mercy game. What do we think?
I don't know. I mean, I did the last
weekend.
Tennis
hasn't been great.
Yeah, I was there.
It's Detroit.
For the Navy
game.
Come
on, it's Detroit.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we'll watch it on TV.
You know, you can kind of go in there and maybe I don't know what the weather's going to be like on Saturday, but you can kind of warm up maybe. I don't know. I did the
maybe
double
in the 50s.
Yeah, okay. I did the Louisville Daily double last weekend. It was a good time. Went to the UofL football game, got nice and toasty. Double fisted breakfast burritos courtesy of Johnny Sales. That was a good time.
Wow.
And then went home, took a little
Johnny
power nap.
Sales, what a that guy's like a that guy's a world conqueror.
Dude, Johnny Sales is a
he
force.
Does everything.
He's just a positive wave of party. Seriously, like nobody tailgates like Johnny Sales and his significant other Lisa. They're the best. It was awesome.
There you go.
So,
well, Nick, I got it.
Took a nap and then went to the soccer game. Froze my ass off, like everybody.
Full day for you. Full sports.
Oh,
day.
It was awesome. It was a good day had by all.
We got to get this back in because we didn't when Lara Overton was on, but ESPN Louisville is your home again this year for the most live play-by-play of the NFL, including Liquor Barn's coverage of the Baltimore Ravens, those Indianapolis Colts we were talking about earlier, and the exclusive home in Louisville for Thursday, Sunday, Monday Night Football. Our next broadcast is tonight, Pats Falcons, 8 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7, and then Sunday, what a lineup this is. Colts Bills 12 p.m. 680 and 105.7, Ravens Bears 12:30 on 93.9 The Ville, and then the Chargers and Broncos around joining in progress 4:30 on 680 and 105.7, and Steelers Chargers wrapping things up at 7:30 on all ESPN Louisville stations. That's a nice lineup. Kudos to the guys back at the station for lining that up all season for us. It's been a fun NFL season. And it's
for sure.
I think it's kind of fun to have new-ish teams in terms of, like, names. In terms of, like, I know the Bills have been good for a couple of years now, but it's fun when the Bills are good and, like, the Titans. I mean, these are, by my standards, random teams that are good.
Well, yeah, they haven't been historically great.
Right. And so I'm so used to the same. I know it's been sort of a changing of the guard for a few years now, but.
Yeah. Throw the Bungles
just kind
in there.
Of fun. Yeah,
the
it's
Bungles.
Just, it's been a fun season. You got some teams that. What?
I didn't want to lose the opportunity. Because you know what goes great with all that football?
Tell me. Chicken wings.
Chicken wings. Chicken wings indeed. And I want to thank Adam and his staff for dropping off Wings on Catering to the ESPN Louisville studios. They have you covered for all the football this weekend and as well as the hoops. So football, hoops, everything. I mean, nothing goes better with that than perhaps some wings. So try the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. Just mention ESPN Louisville, good 7 days a week, every day that ends in Y. Order online, wingzone.com, 2 Louisville locations, Hikes Point and the Poplar Level Road location at Quarry Center. Jeff, I'm sorry you weren't here. And there's some left over because your boy is trying not to eat quite as much. I went to the to Kroger yesterday to pick up some meds for the dog. And while I was waiting for the meds to get filled, I hopped on the little Higgy machine, you know, the little blood pressure thing.
Yeah.
And let's just say it was elevated, to say the least.
Wow.
So trying to, you know, eat a little bit more careful and everything and not engorge myself because, you know, everything's good in moderation. Wing zone, you know, and you know, just, you know, you just got to be careful.
You got to take care of yourself, man.
Yeah. So I, you know, had a healthy breakfast, been drinking beet juice, which is supposed to.
Beet juice.
It's not terrible.
I have a better solution to beet juice.
What's that?
We were speaking of Sweeney. Got to get him to hook you up with some of his high-powered beers. The guy knows beer. Get him to hook you up with some of his beers. That's better for you than beet juice.
I'd love. I think that's true.
I'm a scientist, and that is true.
I've asked Sweeney for beer suggestions before when I've gone out of state, and they have been nothing short of absolute gasoline fire.
Just bangers.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So no, I definitely trust. I mean, Sweeney is kind of like one of my beer consigliere's a little bit. Like,
Do you think he has like people have a wine cellar and a bourbon collection? Like, does he have a fridge?
Yeah.
He's got to.
No, he said as much.
Tell Jack we want Andy to open the curtain up on his beer collection on his show. We want to hear about it.
All right. We'll get the soundbite cut, and then maybe they can address that for sure. But Andy definitely knows himself some beer, but I don't know if that's going to lower blood pressure.
You should probably have the beet juice.
Although I will say, beer doesn't make your pee turn different colors. Like, this is like, it's like,
this has gone off the rails. Yeah.
It's a weird, like, reddish hue. And I got nervous before everyone starts texting in. You sure that's not chlamydia? No, it's not. It's like, trust me, it's that's like a byproduct of drinking beet juice. But it's supposed to help lower blood pressure. I don't hate it. But all of that to say, the wings that got brought today, I was like, I'll just have a couple. You know, I don't want to be crazy, but I can't say no to Wing Zone. It's fantastic. Dude, the drums that were brought in today, I had like two when I was full. I mean, they were just massive, massive drumsticks. I mean, these wings were freaking awesome. I mean, we always enjoy the Wing Zone. I mean, that Process almost murdered some people one time when his favorite wing got gobbled up before he got any. This was a damn good batch. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
that's killing me, man.
We'll save you some. There's plenty.
I can't come over. I gotta go straight to. I gotta keep working. I'm not gonna be home till 9.
All right. This is what I'm doing.
It's been sitting out. Cover the food.
It's
I don't want any
Jeff,
of it now.
Fine.
I'll get some of my own food. It's all right.
No, this is what's going to happen. I'm sending an intern out there to pick up the equipment.
And
he's dropping off a care package of wings.
He is not doing that.
Oh, yes, he is.
All those mangy
fingers. If he wants the college credit, he'll freaking do it. I almost swore
Here's the key to success with the food delivery that I have mastered when I am at the studios. You got to be there first, and you use the tongs. You don't touch the food, because if you can get it while it's fresh, put it on a plate, put it on the cups, you'll be able to enjoy it. Put it in the cups, because for the next 2 hours, it's just sitting out. The containers are open, and then people just come in with their fingies, and they just start popping things in their mouths, and it's nasty. So don't bring me any food. It's too late. I'll come next week. Well, I'll come on Thanksgiving, and we'll see if we can get an order in on Thanksgiving. How does that sound?
All right. I guess more for us, but like I said, I would I would be in the dozens category of wings. So I was trying to get some of it away to avoid temptation, but no. Jeff Greer only eats things that are less than 2 hours old.
Yeah, well, the last time I was in there for Soccer City Radio, Ents and I were eating things that at like 6 o'clock that had been sitting on that conference table for six hours, and I regretted it. Let's just leave it at that. Speaking of none of that, GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join the manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at makeitattheparkcom. We're down at the Kentucky Derby Museum for NWSL Championship Media Day. It is a big weekend for soccer in this city, as the NWSL Championship was moved to Louisville like 2 months ago, I think, a month and a half ago. Kind of an emergency host for the championship, but of course this city is built to host championship events, as we know from the NCAA tournaments of the past and other things. So we're expecting a big crowd in town for the championship game, expecting a relatively full, hopefully a record crowd, over 12,000 at Lynn Family Stadium on Saturday at 12 p.m. Chicago and Washington squaring off in the NWSL Championship. It'll be cool for Racing Louisville and Louisville City to be in the spotlight of the top-tier soccer league in the U.S. for women's soccer. So pretty cool. We've got lots of big basketball games this weekend, Nick, and that's kind of where I want to go with this conversation for the next few minutes, because sure. I feel like when I host this show, you know, people hear my name, they expect me to be able to talk a little bit about Louisville basketball, and that's my own fault because we've had a lot of other things going on. We talked briefly about it with Kent Spencer, but I kind of wanted to come back to that conversation. So there's a couple things here that I want to get to. First and foremost, Nick, we don't know yet who the second game opponent is going to be in the Bahamas.
Right.
We know Mississippi State is the first one. Mississippi State is a solid opponent. I don't think they're great. I don't think they're bad, but I think it's going to be an interesting game. They do have Garrison Brooks, who people may remember was the preseason player of the year at UNC and has really struggled last season by the standards of what was expected of him. And he is now at Mississippi State, which gives them kind of an interesting, different look for their team. But after that game, it's either Maryland or Richmond who will end up on Louisville's schedule. Maryland just lost to George Mason. And if you think people were freaking out about Louisville losing to Furman, which is a top 100 team, George Mason is ranked 142nd in KenPom and pulled off the win at Maryland. So Maryland will be kind of frustrated with that performance.
Is undefeated this year, though.
George Mason's good. They're solid. They're 4-0. They haven't really beaten anybody until they beat Maryland. So. That is interesting. That's a matchup that could happen, that down the line is one that people talk about for Louisville being a valuable non-conference experience. But anyway, I just wanted to make note of Maryland slipping up before going to the Bahamas. But Nick, I want to talk about something that has been kind of on my mind after rewatching the Furman game and watching the Navy game live on Monday.
The turnovers?
No, well, here's the thing. I think Louisville fans worry. I mean, obviously, we all pay very close attention to college basketball. That's one of the big draws of why I moved here in the first place, was we were excited. I was excited to be in a community that cares a lot about college basketball. I didn't realize that all the off-the-court drama would come with it at the time. But nevertheless, we all care a lot about it. And I think when we were coming into this season, people like me who talk about Louisville basketball year-round, who had been to practice, there were clearly some issues defensively that I mentioned in the preseason out of concern that they're not concern. I mean, it's not my team, but just some things that I thought might be problematic for them. And the biggest thing that I mentioned in the preseason, and I believe it was after the second exhibition, is guarding drivers. And Louisville's marriage of the pack line, the hybrid pack line defense that Chris Mack has employed at Xavier and has used here at Louisville, with this newer, high, fast-paced, bigger, better spacing, just a more up-tempo offense that that Ross McBaines has come in and implemented. And these first three games, Nick, just kind of, to me, Navy was better, but these first three games kind of reinforced to me how valuable Chris Mack is as a coach. He's the guy who coaches the defense in practice. He is the voice who is capable of kind of whipping them into shape in halftime speeches and timeouts and those things. And that's not any sort of disrespect to Mike Pegues by any stretch, but Mike Pegues was kind of thrown into this role that he's been asked to maintain here for six games, for 19 days or however long the stretch is. That's almost over now. I just keep coming back to when I went to practices, and I will go again. I'm planning to go next week.
How do you go to those, by the way?
I ask Mac or Kenny Klein, and they say, come to practice. Sure.
So all I got to do
drive
is
over there.
Dear Kenny Klein, can I come watch practice?
You're I mean, you probably should ask me that off the air, but yeah, you know, I could help you out with that. You can come with me if you want.
Ooh, goody.
Your dad probably has goes.
Well, yeah, he watches the practices and stuff, but you know.
But here's the thing, Nick. Like the thing that stuck out to me was, McMaines runs the offense, and Mac runs the defense. Like it's kind of like in football, when your head coach is a coordinator. Or is the one calling the plays, and then there's a coordinator who works with them. Like, McMaines is the offensive coach, essentially, and coaches the offense. Every time I've seen them practicing, he is the one who is making tweaks. Mac certainly participates, but he's kind of overseeing everything on offense. It's the defensive side of the ball where Mac's voice and Mac's implementation of things and Mac's enforcement of mistakes and all of those things comes into play, and not having him with Louisville for 19 days for six games, I think is something that it's hard to quantify what that effect is. But I think I myself included, I put this in my newsletter. I think I underestimated the value of that, and that's not to say that I thought they would be perfectly fine without him, because he's one of the best coaches in college basketball. He's a top 20 coach in college basketball, top
Absolutely.
20, top 25. I don't think anyone would dispute that from his track record. But I don't know. I guess I just assumed that, you know, the team had enough depth to deal with some of these early games, and it wouldn't be until the Bahamas when they were really tested. And Furman, I said this before, you can attest to this. I have said Furman and Navy are decent. Furman's a top 100 team. They will be competitive for a SoCon title. It's a good league. They have been competitive for numerous years in a row in that league as with Bob Ritchie at the helm. I mean, for 5 years in a row, they've won 20 or more games, and then last season they were 16-9 in a shortened season. But they are typically a really good team that ranks in the top 100, if not higher than that, in college basketball in the KenPom rankings. So this is a team that was coming into Louisville in the second game of the year with the capability of giving them problems. I didn't think they would beat them, but I thought it would kind of remind us of that Vermont experience a few years ago when Louisville won by like 6 or 8 points, but it was a very close game and a difficult game for Louisville. And to have that experience early and have them lose, you know, we'll see if that is something that maybe that kind of jolts them a little bit. But to me, the proof was in the pudding. It was a manifestation, a coming to fruition. And I wrote about this in my newsletter this week of that concern.
Where can you find that?
You can find it at jeffgreer.substack.com, about the difficulty guarding drivers and the difficulty in understanding how deep you need to be sitting in the gap as a gap defender in the pack line defense that Mac wants. And I think we saw with Navy, they extended their defense a little bit. They forced 19 turnovers. They turned those turnovers into points. They played with much more intensity. I think that may be the direction that we see this team go, to try to marry the tempo of their offense a little bit more with what the defense is that they're trying to employ. Because right now you're trying to be trending in the direction of Virginia on the defensive end with a team that wants to be Alabama on offense. And I don't know. The numbers are fine, but obviously, I mean, they lost. They lost a game to Furman. I feel like you've got to be able to generate a little bit more offense with your defense in terms of creating turnovers and getting out and running and getting in behind the defense quicker. And so I'm curious to see if they start doing that more. Noah Locke was on my podcast this week, Floyd Street's Finest, talking a little bit about having that leeway to be applying more pressure. And I think that's something that could be interesting for this Louisville squad. It's against Chris Mack's nature to be a pressing team. That's not something that he has ever really done at Xavier unless they're down late.
Which was a bit of point of chagrin for a lot of the Patino.
Yeah, well, Patino and Crum people who want fans who want Louisville, who expect Louisville to be an up and down type of team that plays frenetic tempo. This is a different type of team. And so the offense comes in this year, and you're like, okay, they're starting to play more the way that people want them to play. But defensively, they want to try to stick to those principles. And this team's got to get better at guarding drivers if they want to do that. And outside of Matt Cross, who is an energy guy, he's not an outstanding defender, but he's an energy guy for you. Jared West is an outstanding defender. You need some of those guys like L. Ellis, like Noah Locke, like Mason Faulkner to take pride in creating turnovers out front and pestering ball handlers. And you saw Louisville do that a little bit better against Navy on Monday. But we're not going to really truly get an idea of how they do against their peers, I guess, until they go to the Bahamas. And that's why I mentioned Maryland. Richmond's a good offensive team. But Maryland and Mississippi State have the high-level athletes that Louisville is going to see pretty repeatedly in the ACC. So I'm fascinated by this team, wins and losses. And as I said earlier, they're not going to shoot 25% from three every game. That's just it's against all evidence that we have that Noah Locke is a career 40% three-point shooter. Jared West is a career 37% shooter. And those guys combined are shooting like 27% right now. That is not going to continue for this team. So it's a matter of the offense catching up, making some shots. They have missed a lot of open shots, and pairing that with a defense that maybe is a little bit more aggressive than the style that they've been employing so far with this offense. So anyway, lots of thoughts there, but wanted to talk a little bit about them. And if you are interested in that newsletter, it's jeffgreer.substack.com. Comes out every Thursday. And so that's I'll leave it at that, Nick. And
I was reading some stuff just to piggyback off of just a hair. Like there was a story that when Mac, you know, went down, I was curious because there's certain sports that look. I mean, I come from the coach's family. I'm never ever going to say that, you know, coach doesn't matter. Coach makes a massive difference. But in certain sports and in certain aspects of sports, a coach can, you know, his absence can be felt a lot more, specifically in the college game. Like every story I read about that, because I just wanted to see on average if there was a study of, because they say, like, you know, a manager is worth I think it's like a run and a half or something like that in baseball. Like the difference of no, it's a couple games. That's what it was. It's like a couple games the difference a good manager can make in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, like, you know, I mean, it's not saying that they're insignificant, but in terms of sheer, you know, analytical data, that was like a measuring point. I couldn't get like exactly how much, you know, maybe if there was like a gambling table or something along those lines of what not having a head coach could do in terms of, you know, the difference in points. But one emphasis that was consistent was points allowed. And they didn't say, you know, how much. I couldn't get like a hard figure, but points allowed. And especially piggybacking off your point with, you know, Chris Mack and the defense. And yeah, it has been with everything and with good reason. I feel like the shiny new toy is Ross McMaines for good reason. You know, they're trying to change the offense and everything like that. And like when we started the segment, what did I ask you about? The turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go like that and from like, you know, 500 feet, that could be kind of, you know, the storyline. But if you really like, you know, look into the layers of it, I do agree with you that the biggest presence or lack thereof of Chris Mack is being felt on the defensive side of the ball. And it's interesting though, seeing the people that are trying to plug the holes. And I, you know, like you said, I mean, McMaines, yeah, okay, put that on the mixtape, whatever. But I remember every time Jared West was on the bench in that Navy game, and I was at the Navy game, specifically when Roosevelt Wheeler was in the game, he was basically a third coach on the bench. I mean, just up and pointing out defensive assignments. And I mean, it was quite demonstrative when somebody was out of position too. And there was a lot of that. And I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be like a defensive basketball guru, so I don't know necessarily exactly where people were, if, you know, people weren't like on the line or whatever. But it was evident that collectively on the bench, you know, Pegues and West were not thrilled with where everyone was, at least positionally. So I don't know. I mean, with this upcoming game against, before we go to break, I know you wanted to throw to break here, but I think a good punctuation mark would be, what do you want to see, and even call out a couple players with this matchup against Detroit?
Well, I think one is I would across the board, their guards have to be better guarding drivers, and their wings have to be better guarding drivers. It's been sort of a not great start for a guy who I had somewhat high expectations for after watching the preseason practices and
how
he was performing. No, Dre Davis.
Yeah,
he would be more of a factor for them. Malik Williams played better against Navy, but he's got to be a defensive presence. He still looks like he is not quite at, as they say in soccer, match fitness. He's still working his way back to that. He's looked kind of lumbering at times.
He's become a liability. Like
At times he has.
At least on the defensive end. I mean,
yes, they need him to be quicker. They need him to be a shot altering presence. They've had to move Jalen Withers to the five, a position that they did not want to have him really playing this year, in order to get Cross and Williamson on the floor with Withers. And maybe that's a help. Maybe Roosevelt Wheeler can give you more minutes. I know Pegues was saying he wants to see how Wheeler responds to such a strong kind of debut performance. But they need more interior defense. They need more from everyone, with the exception really of Jared West, and to a lesser extent, at times Matt Cross has been bothersome. L. Ellis played better defensively this last time out, and was played with much more intensity, and he has the athleticism to be really annoying on the defensive end, and that's a good thing. So if you can get some of those guys who can get you deflections, like Withers, like Cross, even a Sam Williamson, guys like that who can use their length to get deflections and create some turnovers, maybe that makes up for some of their challenges guarding drivers. But
deflections, another Pitino-ism.
Yeah. But it's just a frustrating thing to watch them defend. But it was better against Navy. So we'll see. Again, Antoine Davis for Detroit. If Louisville is doing it right, we'll win this game like 15 or 20 points. But Antoine Davis is just an absolute gunner, and is a super quick guard, takes a ton of shots. It's going to be interesting watching Louisville guard him and see if they can kind of siphon him off into difficult places and make it tough for him. And then that will give them a chance to work on that gap defense, because the guy on the ball obviously is the most important. Can't get beat off that first or second step. But the guy directly to his right or directly to his left who is in the gap of the pack line, who is guarding their guy but also helping on drives, that person has to be alert. They've got to be able to fill that space that a driver is trying to take if they've beaten their man. And Louisville was not good enough at that against Furman. That's how Furman got so many good looks. I think 9 of their 12 threes were assisted. They got fouled a bunch, which is also the sign of people who are struggling guarding people with the ball. And they've got to do better with that. And their two-point field goal defense, the numbers are fine. Their statistical profile pretty much looks fine if you look at it on KenPom. But if you watch that Furman game, you know that they're not fine defensively. And so you need some of those guys to step up and be better gap help defenders off the ball, helping out. It's a system that they're having to learn after being elsewhere. A guy like Noah Locke, 3 years at Florida, and then coming to Louisville and having to relearn it. It's difficult. Quan Four talked about that. Kristen Cunningham talked about that. It's a difficult system to learn if you've played a very different style at your previous school. So,
and Quan Four was a defensive specialist.
He was unbelievable, but it took him a really long time to understand what his priorities were off the ball. It's a lot easier to guard the ball in terms of understanding what your assignment is. But if you're off the ball, you have to have some mindset of almost like zone principles when you're sitting in that gap. So anyway, it'll be interesting, this matchup on Saturday, to see if guys continue that intensity. I know I've said it'll be interesting 700 times, we've got the 5-day gap between the Navy game to see if they've matched their intensity throughout the week and bring it again on Saturday in a game they should win. But let's take a break here.
Got a little radio tease. There's a couple of texts we'll get to on the other side here.
And we may be joined here by someone, Nick, at WSL Championship Media Day. We may be able to get one just before we go off air. So
we're
building up to it. It's supposed to start at 3 o'clock. The players will be arriving after that. But some media folks have arrived, and I'd love to get their thoughts on Louisville as a host city before we sign off. So let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll finish things up here on The V-Show on ESPN 680.
You're listening to The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, in for Bob Valvano, it's Jeff Greer.
We're back here at the Kentucky Derby Museum, where we are getting ready for, at the top of the hour, the NWSL Championship Media Day. As a reminder, the NWSL is excited to welcome fans to Louisville for the 2021 NWSL Championship between Washington and Chicago. 12 p.m. is the kickoff for that. And as part of the celebration, fans are invited to the Butchertown Block Party on Friday evening from 5 to 9. That's all presented by MasterCard. There's free food, live music, chance to meet and greet with some NWSL players. And like I said, it'll be in that Butchertown neighborhood besides the Butchertown Market building on Story Avenue. We are joined by a special guest here, Jeff Kasu from Equalizer Soccer. Jeff is the founder of it, a contributor to it. Welcome to our fine city. We like it to call ourselves a soccer city. It's sprouting very quickly here. But this is a big event for Racing Louisville to host or be part of hosting it. Your impressions so far of, you've seen the stadium now and soccer in the city in their first year as an expansion club.
Yeah, been really impressed with the facilities. The city itself, I think, it got to explore a little bit this morning. But look, facilities, you know, is a topic in this league, in good and bad, and certainly in Louisville here, it's on the very good side. So I think that's encouraging for any team coming to the league, and it's a huge leg up for a new team to have that, because that's what ultimately in the long haul attracts players.
Yeah, and it's that $15 million facility over on River Road, and it is cool that they did everything mirror. It's Louisville City and Racing. Everything's equal. So much space for them to operate. First-class operation over there, and they even let me in when I have to go over there, so it's nice. Let's talk briefly about how this thing ended up in operation. Because there had been some concern about both the turf field at Providence Park out in Portland, the timing of it. It would have been 9 a.m. local time. The players would have been, I remember, I think it was Jess Fishlock, who was worried about getting up at 5 in the morning to get ready for that. So they moved it here, and it seems like it was a win for everybody.
Yeah, I think the time was the big thing. You look at pregame processes, and that starts so early. You know, really the comparison there was players doing that when they were youth players, which is you get put through this gauntlet and you just have to do it. And that's, you know, it speaks to the theme in the league and across the sport this year of player, you know, how much players are valued. And I think that was the big thing. The turf, look, Portland Providence Park, it's a spectacular stadium, one of the best in the league, in the country, even in terms of atmosphere. So I think that the 12 o'clock kickoff was really the thing. And, you know, I think you can look at the initial reaction, which was a little bit of a deal with it from the folks in Portland. Yeah. And then obviously some very unfortunate things happening across the league. The tone really shifts to let's listen to the players. Shouldn't have come to that to get to that point. Mm-hmm. But that's where you see the shift and you get to this point where it's at least a noon kickoff.
Yes, thank God. I would have gotten up for the 9 a.m. used to watching up to watch the Premier League, but yeah. It would be nice to be able to watch a game at noon and feel like it's like a college football time. It's okay. Right. We're used to that here on the East Coast. We are talking with Jeff Kasu from Equalizer Soccer, and we're getting ready for NWSL Championship Media Day. I believe we just had some players walk in.
Yeah, Chicago.
Mayor Greg Fisher is here as well. Chicago and Washington squaring off on Saturday at 12. For fans here, they've sold 9,000 tickets already. I'm sure at this point it's gone past that. I would expect it to be a five-digit crowd at Lynn Family Stadium. If they're maybe there's racing fans or fans who like soccer but haven't seen these two teams in particular play, how do you expect this game to set up?
Mm-hmm. Chicago hyper defensive team, certainly based on we're waiting to hear on some availability of a couple of their star attackers. So very defensive minded. Washington, a little bit of the opposite, at least to the degree that they've got a couple young stars, including 19-year-old Trinity Rodman, who really fun attacking talent, just kind of unpredictable in a way. So in that sense, you have this juxtaposition of two really different teams. But I think, you know, you look at narrative wise, going off of that young Washington, a Washington team that has young players. I wouldn't say young overall, but just starting on this trajectory, Chicago, six straight playoff appearances, zero championships. Somebody's going to win their first trophy on Saturday. And for Chicago, you feel like maybe, and we've said this before in previous years, but maybe this is kind of a last shot for this group at that. For Washington, you feel like very unpredictable league, but maybe this is the first of some other opportunities to come.
Yeah, some, and potentially, like you said, depending on what we hear about injury reports, quote-unquote injury reports and COVID protocols and all that stuff, we'll see. But there should be a handful of national team players, which I know are a big draw. The amount of people who waited for Carly Lloyd in the handshaking line to come over, and I mean, obviously, but it was incredible. I mean, it was hundreds of kids and fans who had traveled from around the region to come see her. You'll see Kelly O'Hara. You'll see Emily Sonnet, potentially Mallory Pugh, Tierna Davidson. I mean, it's a list and list. There's so many others who could be playing in this, and players who were called into the national team now as young stars. So it does give the league kind of that chance to, it could have been Megan Rapinoe, it could have been Lindsay Horan, some of the players we already know, Rose Lavelle, but this gives them a chance to put some of those young stars on a platform.
Yeah, and I think it's fitting in this season where it's been so chaotic. I mean, the inaugural NWSL season, 2013, almost ended in a four-way tie for first. That's the only thing I could even compare this to in terms of how this season has played out on the field. And, you know, the fact that the sort of mini dynasty that was North Carolina is not in this game. You know, OL Reign, Portland, two teams that have also been in the mix for the past few years. You know, we've got a new team winning a trophy, one of these, and some fresh stars, certainly. Ashley Sanchez, another name we haven't mentioned, with alongside Trinity Rodman as kind of that base to build around for Washington. So, yeah, I think there's an opportunity for the league, and then you talk about the platform. I mean, potentially a near sellout, whatever that would be, and then big CBS, obviously, for the rest of the country and even world to kind of maybe discover. And hopefully we get a good game. These games can
go. Yes, please.
You know, 2017, anybody who knows, was just not a game you ever want to go rewatch. But 2018, 2019, we had some interesting games. So let's hope we get a good one.
All right. Well, he is Jeff Kasouf from Equalizer Soccer. Thank you so much for your time. We'll have you on another time. We'll talk just about racing to get people jazzed up for next season. It's a huge offseason for them. But come out and see us. Tomorrow night is the block party for the NWSL Championship. They play on Saturday at noon at Lynn Family Stadium. You're running out of time to get tickets, so if you want to get them, you better get on that quickly. Just go to RacingLouFC.com or check out the NWSL's website, and you can find them either way. But it's going to be a fun weekend of soccer here. So thank you so much for joining us, Jeff. And Nick, back in the studio, good work, my friend. Don't forget, we've got pre- and post-game coverage of Louisville-Duke tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, getting ready for the Cardinals' road game on Thursday Night Football, taking on Duke. See you later, everyone. Have a great Friday.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.